Hey, everybody, it's Friday, and welcome to the show. Do we have Facebook running? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I just didn't, a lot of times it's up, and I see it, and I just didn't see it up. That's fine. Today, we've got our Nick's Favorite Things. It's our second annual after the show. Gonna head over to Corwin, pick up a vehicle to drive around, and hit different local businesses and highlight some great gift ideas for you. So be sure to listen for that. We'll break in every hour. I mean, not into programming, but what we'll do is one break an hour will be dominated by me at that location. So instead of having, you know, a handful of commercials, it'll be a lengthy little segment, if you will. I guess technically it'd be a short segment, but nonetheless. And then also we'll be doing a Facebook Live from each of those locations as well, so you can get some visuals thrown in there. Is that Facebook Live going to be on 104.1 Nick Reed, or is that going to be on the KSGF?
You know what? It's going to be on both.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Getting fancy.
Yeah. I didn't even know such things were possible. Goodness gracious. Nathaniel Pauly, he's here, and he's got some news, I suspect.
Oh, you suspect correctly.
Yeah. Sweet.
Two people in Wright County are charged with malnourishing a six-year-old girl. The girl was hospitalized in August in St. Louis and weighed only 21 pounds. She previously weighed 28 pounds. At 4 years old, Letitia Cantrell and Joey Moore face felony charges for endangering the welfare of a child and for abuse. Neither have yet been arrested. Missouri coronavirus cases have pushed well past 309,000. Deaths in the state have reached 4,102. Missouri does not report recoveries. Greene County has 3,800 currently active cases, over 11,000 recoveries, and 1,072 hospitalizations. And a federal judge has dismissed some charges against three employees after the Ride the Ducks tragedy. The employees were charged with neglect and misconduct after the boat sank near Branson 2 years ago, killing 17. The captain was also charged with not checking the weather and not telling the passengers to use flotation devices. And that's the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast. Clouds are going to clear out today. High of 50 expected. Clear tonight, low of 30. 52 tomorrow, Sunday. Sunny, high of 48. And mostly sunny Monday with a high of 47. The current temperature is 35, and it is cloudy. Coming up, I am going to play a little bit of audio. We've got things going on in a few states. Nevada, there is... It's amazing, not really, how blatant Democrats are about violating election laws. One of the things you just cannot do is give people something of value in exchange for voting. Well, there is a video that was produced by a Biden person wearing a Biden mask. At, you know, some, I don't know if what the facility is, but it was focusing on Native Americans and encouraging them to come out and offering prizes to come out and vote. This is illegal. I mean, and it's not an undercover video. This is an individual that was shooting the video to put it out there to try to get as many Native Americans to come in as possible. And now part of the reason this is significant is because it has been, I don't know how broken down this is, but it's been commented on. I know Van Jones was one of these analysts who said that in a couple of states, Nevada being one of them, Native Americans are the ones that pushed Biden over the winning line in Nevada. And here you have open. I mean, and now this is part of the evidence that's being provided in a case by the Trump campaign. You have in Michigan, and I'm going to play this audio coming up because it truly is disgusting. And I'm not one to say I'm ashamed of my country, but I am ashamed that it's happening in this country. And there, it's testimony from an observer. There was quite a bit of testimony, but this really stands out because it's someone who is an immigrant who came to this country as an immigrant to, among other things, get away from this sort of thing. And testifying just how heartbroken she was to see these things happening in this country. And then a Democratic lawmaker calls her a liar. And then video out of Georgia, Fulton County. This also presented during some of the hearings. All of this, by the way, of course, according to the media, means nothing. It doesn't count. It's not evidence of anything. There is surveillance video that has been revealed, and I'm going to play audio of a local CBS story down in Georgia on this. And after you can see the Democrats who are in charge of this particular voting area ushering out all the poll watchers, telling them, what, we're done for the night. Remember this? Remember? We had election night coverage here, and we're like, well, this is odd. Georgia says they're going to stop for the night. Michigan says they're going to stop for the night. Wisconsin says they're going to stop for the night. This is something that's never been done, and all of a sudden you have this coordinated shutting down, we were told. And recounts will start again in the morning. Everyone's tired. In Fulton County, they blamed it on a pipe bursting, which turned out not to have any relevance at all. You see in the video, after the observers are ushered out, being told the voting is done, the doors are closed, one of the individuals pulling suitcases out from under a table in which, I think they said they estimated 6,000 ballots, or it may have been, the news story has it, 6,000 ballots per suitcase, that they began counting. I have said on a number of occasions, for the folks in the media, I know Democrats what they're going to say. They don't care. Their job isn't to be honest. Their job isn't to tell the truth. I mean, I know you'd like to think that's the case. But at least in media, theoretically, that's their job. For the folks in media who continue to say there's no evidence, what do you consider to be evidence? What is it that you would say, okay, that is evidence of some voter fraud? That is evidence of something illegal occurring. If it's not witness testimony, if it's not people admitting that they were part of it, if it's not actual videotape of it happening, please tell me. We could save a lot of time. We'll play some of that audio coming up. Oh, and we will also talk about Joe Biden. He has declared that he is going to, it sounds like he's going to ask people to wear masks for 100 days after his inauguration. Now, here's, I mean, these are honest questions. And see, Biden, I believe, knows that he can't officially force you to do this. So he's going to encourage it. It's the way it sounds right now. If you believe that this really truly is at least part of the answer to somehow making COVID go away, even though it hasn't worked in other areas, including other countries in which there were mask mandates, and it's all going to be done based on you just requesting it, why wait until Inauguration Day? Why not ask it now? I mean, the people who are going to abide by your request would do it today just as well as January. And the people who aren't, I mean, you're not going to have anyone that says, well, I'm not going to do it because he's not officially president. Once he's officially president, then I'll go by his request. If it's not going to be any sort of legal requirement, it's simply his recommendation and his request to patriotic Americans to do their duty, why wait? Why not ask for it now? And what's the science behind 100 days? You know, we hear so much about science, science, science. What is the science behind 100 days? Is it going to, in 100 days, eradicate COVID? Well, no, of course not. Well, then why don't we do it until it does? I mean, what's this 100 days stuff? I guess we're not supposed to ask any questions, right? Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. Queen City Motors. Oh, yeah, a little boy band here. 447-KSGF is the Queen City Motors talk and text line. And I can't remember that. 447, what? I know the KSGF part's pretty easy to remember. If you download the app, there's a button that says text. And then there's one that says call studio. You just hit it, bam. So you don't have to worry about any phone numbers. How about them apples? They're delicious, aren't they? So you can either go through the hassle of dialing 447-KSGF or download the KSGF app. We have, if you go to KSGF.com, you in the rotating tiles, there's one that mentions the app. You can go there and it'll, based on your phone, you can choose, you have iPhone or Droid. Get it that way or just go to your marketplace. Now, someone had asked, they said, oh, I've gone in and looked and there's several. Who is the, I guess I've already downloaded mine. I guess I could look in the marketplace, but somewhere it may list who the developer is. It's Futuri. Well, yeah.
If you look under Summit Media, that's how you'll be able to find it. And you'll also be able to find our sister stations as well.
All right. Yep. So Summit Media, you can do it that way also. That way you're sure to get the right one.
Yes.
And there you have it.
Yep.
And then, of course, listening to the station. That's the number one deal on it, I think, anyway. You can listen to the past shows if you missed any of those. We'd like to, our goal was to make it as streamlined, as simple, not have a bunch of crap in there that you don't need. I mean, for years with websites and apps, I felt like I was the lone voice while everyone's like, I mean, not here specifically, but just in general, when it comes to these things and radio stations, you got to put absolutely everything on there that you got to put this. And I'm like, people don't, I mean, maybe one out of 100 listeners are even going to have interest in that. And you're going to lose people. There's too much on there. Like, what are the very basics? Listening is number one to currently, maybe past shows, calling in. Have like 4 or 5 things on there, and that is it. And thank heavens the developers of this app under Summit felt the same way. And, because we were just told, oh, there's going to be an app developed, and oh, no, I'll see what this looks like. And I mean, just out of the box, it was so much better than what in the past, anyhow, websites and apps tended to be with radio stations. So I've been very pleased with it thus far. All right, let's put this. I want to talk a bit about latest developments when it comes to allegations of voter fraud. There, no reasonable person who is paying attention can argue that there's no evidence. You just can't, if you're paying attention. And I have been gravely disappointed at seeing some people in journalism, some of which I know on a national level, that continue to post information suggesting that people who think that there's any sort of voter fraud are idiotic. They're just, clinging on to desperation. And they'll post a news story about somebody saying there's no widespread voter fraud. And that's their evidence of it. And it's like, I don't care what that person says. When you see it with your own eyes, when there are thousands of witnesses coming forward, I don't care what some government official says. Excuse me. I have my own brain. This is a story from, there's two reasons I'm playing this story. One, so you can hear the story itself. This is a CBS affiliate in Georgia regarding a new videotape showing, well, you'll hear it described here if you aren't aware of it already. But the other aspect is, so you can hear, and this is testimony before a committee, how an elected Democrat responds to this. So here's the story.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. I'm Rick Fulbaum.
And I'm Tracy Hutchins. We have a lot of news to get to following the state's election recount. CBS 46 has team coverage now at 5 of Republican infighting and new claims of voter fraud.
And today it was jaw-dropping allegations of alleged election fraud at the center of a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee meeting that's actually happening right now. supposed videotape evidence of ballots being counted without oversight. CBS 46's Adam Murphy is at that meeting. He has this new information for us. Adam.
Good evening, Rick. I can tell you in that Senate subcommittee, members just returned from a very short break. They've been going now since 1 o'clock this afternoon, and it's a committee comprised of both Republicans and Democrats. We understand they're going to go into the early evening hours even. They are listening to evidence presented by the president's legal team of allegations of fraud, and perhaps the biggest bombshell that they've seen thus far is that surveillance video from inside State Farm Arena, which you just talked about, which shows questionable ballot counting.
They are going to pull ballots out from underneath a table.
For the first time, the president's legal team, led by Rudy Giuliani, presented surveillance video from State Farm Arena, which allegedly shows people taking out at least four boxes of ballots from underneath a table and then counting them after hours with no election supervisors present.
So the same person who's staying behind now, the same person who cleared the place out under the pretense that we're going to stop counting, is the person who put the table there at 8:22 in the morning. Yeah, I saw four suitcases come out from underneath the table.
It is believed that each box consisted of 6,000 ballots. If accurate, that would amount to about 24,000 potential votes. One state lawmaker questioned the validity of the video.
The question is, since this has been debunked repeatedly, what evidence can you give to us that counters what our elections officials have presented us with only an hour ago?
You just saw it. Your officials need to watch the video.
Giuliani.
Now, I've got to pause it there and then just play the back end of this story. This is what we're dealing with. This is the level of dishonesty. And to some degree, this is the point I keep making when I say, if you keep saying everything that's put forward is not evidence, you tell me what evidence is. You keep saying bring evidence. Tell me what that evidence looks like so that I can fulfill your definition. This is videotape of the supervisor escorting out observers, telling them we're done for the night, closing up the doors, then pulling out four suitcases full of ballots, opening them up, and then they start counting them. And the Democrat, this is an elected Democrat saying, well, you know, I mean, this stuff's debunked. Their definition of debunked is they, as a party, saying, no, there's nothing to see here. It's not true. It's self-fulfilled debunking. And then, of course, the media picks it up. Well, these allegations have been debunked. Oh, because the people who get caught doing it say, oh, I wasn't doing anything. And that's what they consider debunked. If you are requesting evidence, and you keep claiming that none is being shown, explain, define what the evidence you expect it to look like. If it's not testimony, if it's not actual video of it happening, if it's not whistleblowers, please tell us. This is the rest of the story.
And his legal team also introduced witnesses who signed sworn affidavits claiming there were cases of fraud.
Altogether, you had 231,188 ballots with no return record at all. You were able to cancel 134,000 of those, but you kept 96,600 votes when there was no return record for them. What would that suggest? Phantom votes.
Now, CBS 46 reached out to Fulton County Elections Director Richard Barron and his office to see if they have actually been made aware or even seen this video. They told us at this point in time they are not going to comment. A spokesperson said they're actually watching this testimony and do intend to make remarks at a later time. We'll stay on top of this one. Live inside the state capitol tonight, Adam Murphy, CBS 46 News.
All right. So now the governor and secretary of state, they're both Republicans, and they've been pushing back on this stuff, saying everything's wonderful, everything's fine. The governor now is saying, well, no, I think that we need a signature audit here. I've told the secretary of state he hasn't called for an audit, though. So the governor is relenting on this. And how can you not? I mean, I just conceivably do not know Really, truly, what more can be presented? Think of any scenario. Think to myself, all right, what would be evidence? Well, someone who was involved coming forward. We have had that occur. There was testimony from two USPS workers a couple days ago admitting that they hauled ballots from one state to another. They have created a scenario in which it is impossible by their standards to give evidence because nothing is evidence. Nothing is evidence in the world that they have created. There is no such thing as evidence. It's just a thing that you call for and then claim hasn't been presented. Let's go to Chip Walnut Grove. Hey, Chip, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You're really hitting a good topic here. I'm thankful. I am actually thankful for people like you, specifically you today, for doing this. Let me say a couple things real quick.
Yeah.
This whole scenario, there are those who are obviously part of the contrivance. So no matter what, you're right. They will never say, well, this is what we need to prove it. Never, ever say it. Then there are those who are complicit who just don't want to dig in because, well, and then there's a big amount of us, and this is the part that scares me, who are whistling past the graveyard because if it's proven and there's enough evidence that any grand jury, honest grand jury sitting, would call for some kind of indictments. But we're whistling past the graveyard because we would have to do something and we would have to come out of our comfort zone. And in this scenario, that something would be so radical.
Well,
and none of us, or most of us just don't want to go there because it's going to hurt.
And what the Republican Party doesn't seem to realize here and is that this is where they're going to lose, as a party, a huge chunk of their base. Because they are the party that is the victim in this. I mean, if you're talking politically speaking. And if Republicans... I mean, you got Trump, you got Giuliani. Look how many Republicans out there are telling him essentially to sit down, to shut up. In Georgia, the Republican governor and Secretary of State have been fighting publicly, insulting Trump and his campaign team on this. And as voters, we think, well, what? If the party that is the victim of this is not standing up and outraged. And with the exception of a very few, even if they do come out, it's like, well, you know, we need to just, you know, really sit back and watch and see if there is any sort of evidence. And, of course, if there is, that doesn't necessarily mean that it would change the outcome of the election. So it's probably best that we all just move forward. Without a care in the world that an election was potentially stolen from the American people. I mean, if they don't care, Democrats obviously don't care. You just got Trump and Giuliani and Sidney Powell out there, and that's pretty much it. Looking out for 300 plus million Americans. And I say that because this is a country in which you've got that many citizens, and even though clearly a lot of them are okay with the vote being stolen as long as it goes their way, whether they like to admit it or not, they're still victims of the whole thing. I mean, if you win by cheating. All right, I've got to get a break, and I've got some other audio. I do want to play more of your calls as well. And the Queen City Motors talk and text line. Chip, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. 447 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Got Nathaniel Pauly with news.
Free COVID-19 testing will be held today at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds from 7 to 4. Registration is preferred but not required. The testing is funded by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. And Downtown Springfield Association has released a new app to connect people to dining, shopping, and the Festival of Lights this Christmas season. The association partnered with Incent Local to create a web-based app that offers daily discounts. To get the app, you can text DOWNTOWN to 833-344-0207. That's 833-344-0207 to get a link. You do not need to download anything. And that's the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast. Clouds clearing out today. High of 50, 30 tonight, 52 tomorrow. Sunny, 48 on a Sunday. It's 35 and cloudy. Got a... KSGF you know, memes are to some degree today's version of political cartoons, and sometimes they do make really great points. And someone sent one in, and it said, if CNN existed in 1941, and it's a photo of, you know, the aftermath, or I guess, well, the aftermath of the bombing, but ships are still smoking and sinking. It's a photo of it. And then it says, developing story at the bottom, Japanese flyover is mostly peaceful. And then the question that was asked by the person texting it in, what evidence do you have that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor? I mean, in reality. Absolute reality. Photo evidence, hundreds of witnesses, people involved acknowledging that it happened. And you still have the media, well, the Trump administration alleging without evidence. You know, to them, the biggest story is that Trump refuses to concede. Meanwhile, the Georgia Secretary of State has launched an investigation into several groups, including one founded by former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, who still refuses to accept the outcome of that election. Investigating one of her organizations for seeking to aggressively register ineligible voters, out-of-state voters, and dead voters. Well, why wouldn't they? This is a state where someone is on tape escorting out election observers, then pulling out suitcases that were hidden under a table filled with thousands upon thousands of ballots. I really liked your comment. And we're still told that there's nothing to see here. I mean, it's just, why wouldn't they vote? Let me tell you what there are some Republicans like Crenshaw, and that somebody pointed that out on the talk and text line that he's fighting this. There are a few. The problem is there's no unified, you know, stance on this. The way that I want to analogize this in a way that maybe will, I don't know. I know most of you appreciate it, but you always feel like other people don't get it as much as you do. Even though I know you do. You know how we sit back over the past year and watched in disbelief as mayors of certain towns would just allow rioters to burn down buildings? And we think, how on earth can you let that happen? And then Trump would say, I'll send in the National Guard. We'll send in help. We'll send in. And they're like, no, no, no. Whether it's the governor of Wisconsin or the mayor of Portland, mayor of Chicago. And we just sit back and we're like, well, no wonder this sort of behavior is going to spread. Nothing is done to these people. Well, the voter fraud is pretty much parallel to that. You've got people committing voter fraud. It's blatant in many instances. It's clearly illegal. You have Democrats saying nothing to see here. Whenever it does become obvious, they say, well, it's not enough to overturn the election. That's the political version of saying it's mostly peaceful. You know, the protests, well, they're mostly peaceful. Well, there may be some voter fraud, but overall, the vote is secure. And Trump's the one guy that is out there trying to make right on it for the American people. To Patty in Springfield. Hi, Patty. Welcome to the show.
Nick, I just talked to Sarah, and I want you to know that I listened to Laura Ingraham's show last night, mm-hmm. and she interviewed Brian Kemp.
Kemp, governor of Georgia.
The governor of Georgia. And he was as non-committal to making a difference in this runoff election as he could be. He holds no value with a belief that he's going to take care of it. And he was the former Secretary of State of Georgia. There is no reason why all of this should not have been done. No one would have known more than he after what he was confronted with Stacey Abrams. And I am appalled. And for him to constantly defer to the Secretary of State now, I honestly believe that Sidney Powell's comments that have been so widely criticized, that the two of them have made some kind of a pact or deal or have been bought off, it's believable. And I am extremely proud that you are a voice of truth.
Oh, you're so kind, Patty.
Missouri.
Oh, thank you.
And Nick, I'm just, the Republicans are spineless. They are in Springfield. They've taken advantage of all of us by just putting an R by their name. These committees that decide who can run don't do proper vetting, in my judgment. And that's why we have the city council that we have. That's why we have Springfield mm-hmm. school board yeah. Members that we have. And I am just one that is appalled that enough people don't care about this. So I guess what I would say to all of us out there is we've got to do more than just support President Trump's efforts. We have to become vocal, even in Missouri, about what is happening. And we do not allow a Roy Blunt or a Josh Hawley or a Billy Long to get by with just trying to pat us on the shoulder. Now, I do not believe Hawley would do that, and I do not believe Billy Long necessarily would. But nobody's pushing them. Nobody is pushing them to take an actual stand, because this is indeed about election integrity, and it hurts all of us.
Patty, so, thank you so
much.
God bless you. Thank you so very much for calling in this morning. You have a wonderful day, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Patty. God bless her. There are, I got a message from an area listener who is just fit to be tied as a citizen about what is clearly going on. I mean, people who sit and watch this testimony, it's like, am I living in another world? Because everyone else is acting like nothing is going on. Republicans. And so this individual, they called and they gave the riot act to Blunt's office and to Billy Long's office and so forth. And sometimes the response that is received, even, you know, you have some Republicans and, well, you know, we're really watching this closely. And it's this sort of diplomatic approach. And there are some troubling things that we see. This is so beyond that is the problem. It's like even some of the Republicans that, if they're asked about it, concede that, well, it does look like there may be some problems here. It's like your level of outrage is way, way below what it ought to be. Way below what it ought to be. It's like you're at the grocery store and you see somebody beating a child until the child is almost dead and going, yeah, that's some bad parenting there. That's just too bad. There needs to be a different level of outrage. It needs to be a unified level of outrage. Because let me tell you what happens, and this is the way that it's perceived by people who may not have the time or the wherewithal to sit and watch all of this testimony and even to seek out where to find it. They don't know where to find, One America News Network or Newsmax or, you know, some of the few outlets that may be streaming this stuff live constantly. They don't even know where to find that stuff. The stuff that the national media should be streaming. And so, they figure if Republicans aren't outraged and if Republicans aren't saying what Trump is saying, well, then there's probably no voter fraud, because after all, if Republicans are the victims of voter fraud, they would be screaming about it, right? They'd have a unified front and they'd be out there holding press conferences like every single Republican member of Congress on Capitol Hill. It would be nonstop. They would be declaring that this presidential election is not over and that they're. But because that's not happening, that sends a message to people. That sends a message to people that there must not be anything here, because even Republicans aren't pitching a fit about it. Now, like I said, I acknowledge that there are a few here and there, But if you're the average person flipping through the news, you hear more Republicans talk about how we need to move on, how Trump needs to go along with the transition, otherwise he's damaging national security, how we need to just accept reality. You hear much more from the Republicans saying that than you do acknowledging what's going on here. I want to take just a quick break with traffic, and then I want to play for you. And again, people in the past and people on the left, you know, they always say, I'm ashamed of my country. And I'm not there. But some of what I'm going to play for you next, audio of immigrants or of one immigrant in particular who is testifying in Michigan, poll watcher. I'm not ashamed of the. I'm ashamed that it's happening in this country. I guess a part of me is ashamed. I don't want to get into semantics too much because I'm real torn over that. But I'll have that audio next. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. All right, some quick audio here. Now this is a Michigan poll watcher testifying yesterday or the day before. And you'll hear she gives a bit of her background. She is an immigrant to this country.
And again, I just want to tell everybody here that when we became a poll challenger, our intent was not to get into fights with anybody. I'm an immigrant, and this country gave me a platform to be what I am today. I run a successful IT business. I'm one of the fastest 50 growing companies in America. And I really love this country. When I became a citizen of this country, it was a choice I made. I had to give up my Indian citizenship to become a U.S. citizen. It's a choice we all make. That's a country we grew up in, but this is a country we chose to live. So we just have a lot of respect for this country. Putting ourselves out here, it's not fun. Trying to get our names out there, trying to just kind of intimidate us. You have to understand, coming to a country where we have nobody, and then start our life here, it takes a lot of courage. So we do have courage. And especially for me to do this, it's really scary. It was very scary because I am a very private person. I have no social media accounts. I just like to live a very private life. But I knew what was at stake from what I witnessed at TCF, and my heart broke because I had a lot of respect. I still have a lot of respect for this country, and I don't believe in racism as like the mainstream media narrative. This country has given me a lot, and I'm very thankful for it. So today when I'm doing this, it's not because I'm trying to say who's good or who's bad. I'm just saying that this needs to be fixed. In a country like India, we have a national identification card without which we cannot vote. When we come into this country, we have a retina scan, we have fingerprints, everything, when we're entering into this country through a border. How is that a vote, which is the single most important thing any person can do, is actually being cast without an ID, without any kind of oversight, and you know those ballots getting duplicated without an oversight, and all of this fraud that was happening, it was heartbreaking. So that's why I decided to put myself here. Another thing I also have to say is when the GOP people were getting escorted out with or without handcuffs, every poll worker and all Democrats stood and clapped like it was some kind of, they all won a lottery ticket. And that is exactly when I decided I'm going to do this, because that was heartbreaking, because these people were doing a job, a volunteer job. They were not getting paid. They all were leaving their work to be here for their country to ensure election integrity. And they were treated like criminals, and that's not fair.
Not America.
Now, I want to, and then the last here, it's just about 60 seconds. I want you to hear how she's treated by one of the Democrat lawmakers on the committee.
I'm sorry?
Do you have a point of order?
Yes.
What is your point of order?
Point of order is to have them under oath.
You're out of order. As I've said, this is something that is not done here in this state. It's really only...
It may not be done under the state, but you're allowing people to come in here and lie, and I know they're lying.
Representative, you're out of order. I've indulged you, but you're out of order, and we're going to move on.
On behalf of my witnesses, I would like to point out that every single witness we've presented here has sworn an affidavit as to all of these facts.
And so,
Representative, please, I gave you some room there, but we're going to move on. We're going to go.
May I say something, please?
Sure.
If that is what you want me to do, I would do it. And I will still repeat the exact same thing I watched. And you know what? I also want to say one thing. If it is a lie, it may change because a liar has to have a lot of memory power. If it is truth, you can ask me in the middle of the night, it'll still be the same.
All right, so that is a poll watcher, also an immigrant, testifying in Michigan. Now, of course, if the shoe were on the other foot, parties were reversed, that committee person calling her a liar would be, number one, labeled a racist, and two, this whistleblower would be Times Person of the Year, would be on Anderson Cooper, would be on Rachel Maddow, would be on The View, would be a wonderful hero that they would be talking about. It's too bad she wasn't born here in the United States because she should be president. But of course, because she's blowing the whistle on Democrats, she's just a lying piece of immigrant trash. Don Carriker joins us this morning. How do you do, sir?
Oh, my gosh. Frustrated.
I know. I know. And that sort of thing, like I said, between videotapes of suitcases of ballots being brought in after poll watchers are escorted out and just all of this. And the Republican response, anything from we need to move on to, well, you know, we're keeping an eye on it and we'll investigate. I mean, there's very, very, very few Republicans that are displaying the level of reaction or outrage that is appropriate for this particular situation.
Funny you should bring that up, because that's exactly what I'm frustrated about. I hire, you hire, everybody that voted for Roy Blunt and Billy Long hired them to back up their constituents. What the heck are they doing besides running for the hills, hiding out, feathering their own nests? It makes me sick. I am not going to vote for that man anymore. I don't care. It's easier to cut off your arm with a hatchet or an axe than it is to do it with a butter knife, bit by bit, or gnaw it off, you know, yourself trying to get loose. This is ridiculous. The fact that they are not out there circling the wagons like the Democrats would, that's why we always, always lose, is because the Republicans head for the hills. They're a bunch of castrated eunuchs that run for the hills whenever there's a problem that the Democrats try to look like they're taking the, you know, the truth. And they're not. This is a total outrageous, blatant lie. And it's up to God at this point to do anything, because the Republicans aren't doing a thing. And there's a few of them. Ted Cruz, one of them. But our, you know, Roy Blunt, Billy Long, get up off your butts and do your job, because you're not going to get the vote if you don't do this. If you don't back up the fraud, the fight against the fraud that's going on right now, then you're not going to get reelected.
Well, and like I said, it's not enough to just, when asked, to say, well, yeah, there's some irregularities.
No.
And we need to look into it. And this is a 12-alarm fire going on. You know, a simple bucket of water is not the answer here. And so it's just so frustrating.
They need to be going to Georgia. They need to be going to Missouri. We don't have anything we can do in Missouri, okay? The election is fine in Missouri. We voted right. We didn't allow, or they weren't organized enough to commit this kind of level of fraud in Missouri. There is a rally going on next week, the 12th. It's called the Jericho Rally or something. Look up Jericho Rally in D.C., 12-12-2020. And everybody is going to be going to the state capitals and D.C. It's religiously oriented, and we need to get fired up, people. Now is not the time to sit back and say, okay, well, we're done. No, you know, prayer without acts is nothing. You need to get up off your butts and do something and get out there. And the 12th of December, isn't that the day that the electors vote?
The 12th or the 14th? Was it the 14th,
14th
4 years ago? Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I think
4 years
right.
ago it was one of those, and then this year it's the other. But it's around there, yeah.
Yeah, the Jericho walls will come tumbling down. The walls of fraud and theft and everything else will come tumbling down. I think if God sees that we're going to do what we can and fight this, then maybe, just maybe, we can pull this off. But
well, and sometimes, you know, the right thing to do is the hard thing to do. And even if in your mind you think, well, this is a losing battle, there's no point. Well, there is a point, because doing the right thing is sometimes the point itself. Doc, where I've got, well, I'm out of time.
I know.
Basically,
I know.
Is what it boils down to.
I knew we'd be short. Oh, Monday.
Yeah.
Monday, can you let everybody know about Monday?
Oh, yeah,
I'll fill in for you.
Yep,
yay!
Don's going to fill in for me Monday.
We'll
have
more
3 full hours to to yourself. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Bye. Don Carricker, everyone.